And welcome back to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. I am Chip Patterson, and with 3 weeks in the bag, we're bringing it on back. Time for a Fish and Chips edition of the podcast. So joining me, as he always does for Fish and Chips, is Mr. Brian Fisher. Brian, how have you enjoyed the first 3 weeks of the season?
It's been good. You know, I think anytime you get back in the kind of especially the non-conference schedule as we've had these past couple weeks, it's good to see the intersectional matchup. Some big upsets. There's no doubt about that there's been some surprises in college football. But for the most part, I think for a lot of the top teams, we've seen what we need to see. And I can't wait for conference play to get going in the next couple weeks.
One of those big upsets, as Brian just mentioned, was Stanford taking down USC at the Farm, and that sort of leads us into the game we're going to play. Brian and I are going to play a game called Sink, Swim, or Tread. We'll be going through each of the Big Six conferences and looking at some of the teams that we had identified before the season as potential conference title contenders, and then maybe revisit that and see whether they are swimming towards that goal, sinking, or whether they're treading water. And, you know, of course, tread will be right there in the middle. You know, they're still fine, but they need to put some wins together in order to avoid it. So we're going to start right there in the Pac-12. And Southern California, I'm going to say they're still swimming, but, that loss is definitely going to hurt. Do you think that losing to Stanford affects their title chances at all?
Yeah, I don't think the national title is realistic anymore for USC. I mean, there was such a margin thin razor, a margin of error for that team. And, you look at past years. I mean, you go back to 2009, you can go back even further than that. One loss USC teams, although they've, gotten a lot of hype, gotten a lot of, media attention, they just, for whatever reason, haven't been able to overcome things in the BCS standings to where they're, number one or number two. And I think that's going to happen again this year. I mean, strength of schedule is a huge thing. Yeah, it's nice that you do have a strong Stanford, you have a strong Oregon. And certainly if they could beat Oregon twice, that would be huge. But, I think it's just too difficult for them, unless a lot of dominoes fall, for them to get back in the national title picture. Now, they can still are kind of in the driver's seat for the Rose Bowl. They can still beat Oregon. They can still beat them again for the Pac-12 championship game. The season is not lost. It's just that big-time storyline that a lot of people had coming into the beginning of the year in terms of the redemption of Troy is not going to happen, and we're not going to see him in Miami, I don't think. And I think it's disappointing for the Trojan fans, certainly, but it's reality out there right now.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Barkley said unfinished business. One piece of that unfinished business was a national title. So definitely saying they're sinking for national title. I still think they're swimming just because the Pac-12 South isn't providing as many challenges as the Pac-12 North as far as the Pac-12 title goes. In the Pac-12 North, do you think that Stanford, with this win over UNC, USC has put themselves in a position where you think they are a Pac-12 title contender? Are they swimming or treading for Pac-12 championship?
I think they're still treading. I don't think we've seen exactly what Oregon is because they played such a weak schedule. But there's no arguing with the fact that Chip Kelly's only lost one conference game since he's been head coach at Oregon, and that's a difficult record to go against. Now, obviously, as we saw last week against USC, Stanford has the best front seven in the conference, and if anybody's going to give them a run, if anybody can put pressure on an offensive line already down a starter early in the year, it could be Stanford. They have a good game plan. They got a good rushing attack. They can play keep away from that Oregon offense, and they got some great linebackers. The secondary is still a work in progress, but as we saw against the Trojans, they did just a phenomenal job against the best wide receiving core in the country. And I would say they're swimming, but they're just kind of like barely. They're kind of in between the two. I think it is definitely shifted the emphasis in the Pac-12 from that November 3rd matchup between Oregon and USC to that one a few weeks later where Stanford travels up to Eugene and faces the Ducks, because that's absolutely huge, not only in the Pac-12 North, but you're really talking about three very strong teams. I think nationally that all have a chance to be right in that top 10 mix, and they're all going to basically end up playing each other. And it's good for the conference as itself, to have those big strong matches. matchups, but bad for the national title contender. And you know, unless Oregon can come out with two wins or three wins in those big games, including the championship game, it's just going to be tough for a Pac-12 team to be in the national championship. Certainly for Stanford itself, I think there is a fairly realistic chance that they could end up going to the Pac-12 championship. And you know, we've seen a game plan on how to beat Oregon now, and I think, you know, Stanford could have the personnel that could execute that as well. So certainly going to be interesting going forward to how this race shapes up. And keep in mind with the Cardinal too, they got a very big matchup at Notre Dame in a couple weeks as well.
Do you give any shot to UCLA to sneak in there? I you know, obviously that was one that we did not have on the burner when we previewed the Pac-12 at the beginning of the season, but clearly, you know, they're very improved on defense. That offense with Hundley and Franklin is absolutely phenomenal. Any chance they get in there and sneak out a South Division title, or do you think there's just not enough talent to keep up with USC? Is that 75 better than the Bruins 85?
I still think that 75 is better than what UCLA has on their 85, but that's not to take anything away from what Jim Moore has done with that team. They're much more focused than they have been in the past. I got a chance to see them up close and personal in that upset against Nebraska. They've got some speed. They've got guys that can make plays in space. It's a different team, I think, on offense with Noel Mazzone running things. The offensive coordinator there, he's done a phenomenal job bringing Brett Hundley along as a quarterback. Turnovers are an issue. I think that's the one thing we saw at against Houston that kind of kept them the Cougars in the game a lot closer than it should have been. But you know, I think you correct some little mistakes here and there. Very good test, I think, against Oregon State coming up for UCLA, and they're definitely an intriguing team. I think the South Division, we kind of thought it was UCLA or USC and kind of everybody else, but there's going to be some stiff tests going forward for the Trojans. Still think they're a class of the division, but it's definitely a much tougher road to the title game than we previously thought. UCLA being, I think, one of the bigger reasons. Arizona, Utah, even Arizona State looking a lot stronger than I think a lot of people thought in the preseason as well.
Moving on to the Big Ten, one of the teams that we thought was going to be right there out in front with the division, you know, to lose, it's Wisconsin. And frankly, this is a team, when we're playing sink, swim, or tread, looking at a Big Ten championship, I think they're sinking. You know, there's a lot of reasons to be concerned. They've already gotten rid of their offensive lines coach, promote the graduate assistant right there. And, you know, you wonder who is going to be in that leaders division. Are you going to say the Badgers are treading, or do you have them sinking as well?
Well, I've got them sinking. I mean, not only you look at that Oregon State loss, but they struggled against Utah State and struggled in the opener as well. I mean, this is a team that is going through a lot of issues. And, you know, you look at that entire leaders division, yeah, they make the most sense just because, let's face it, even as bad as they look, they probably can beat Purdue. Ohio State and Penn State are ineligible. Indiana lost to Ball State, and they're quarter out for the year. And in Illinois, you know, just got blown out by Arizona State on the road. So you don't really know what they've got with the new head coaching staff. So can I make it to the Big Ten title game? I certainly think that that's a very realistic possibility for the Badgers. I think they're still good enough to win that division. But are they the best team in the division? Absolutely not. Ohio State has proven that. And, you know, I think either Michigan State, you could probably even say Nebraska and maybe sneak Northwestern in there at the very bottom, but there's some strong contenders to win the Legends division, and I think that's the one area where Wisconsin's going to have trouble is, yeah, they might be able to win their division, but they could absolutely get steamrolled down the road when they play some good teams from the Legends division, and that's where you know, they do have a great running game, and they're still not set at quarterback, it looks like, with Danny O'Brien. You know, that job, the starting quarterback job, is up for grabs this week, and it'll be interesting. But all comes down to the offensive line. I think that's the one issue that we've seen over the first 3 weeks here now. Their offensive line is not what it was last year, and we've seen the struggle to run the ball. Danny O'Brien hasn't had time to throw the ball. They're not stretching the field. Teams are loading up in the box, and it's just a different look on offense, and that translates into a struggling defense as well. So, you know, across the board, Wisconsin has to get better. I would assume that they would be going forward, and if not, you know, they're going to have some serious issues. There's no doubt about that. I think they're sinking, but they could still end up treading water by the end of the year based on on the rest of the division.
Yeah, I've got four sinkers in the leaders, and I've got four, and not including the two ineligibles, and I've got four swimmers in the legends. I mean, it's like, you know, not to get all Olympics, but it's like one of those races where USA has, you know, Phelps and Lochte. You know, you feel as though whoever wins the legends is going to have the best chance to get out there and win. The question is, among Michigan, Michigan State, and then Nebraska, and then really Northwestern, that's that interesting case because of all the teams, they've played three really quality opponents and been able to emerge victorious in each one. My question is, you know, how seriously are you taking them as a contender? Do you have them treading, or do you see them swimming as well?
Well, I think, you know, you look at Northwestern, they're the only team in the country that has three wins versus BCS opponents. It hasn't necessarily been pretty for the Wildcats. They've won close ones, like that one over Syracuse in a shootout. You know, we don't really know how good Vanderbilt is, and they beat them. But I think for the most part, it's impressive what they've been doing. They've got some weapons. You know, let's face it. You know, you've got guys that can make plays and that maybe weren't there last year. And I think it starts, you know, with Venrick Mark and how good he has been. I mean, just phenomenal rushing. You know, rushing, giving him a wide receiver aspect kind of out of the slot, you know, three touchdowns on the year, and he's been better than that. He's been a threat in the return game. And then Caden Coulter's been, you know, very solid, you know, completing 66% of his passes, hasn't thrown an interception. He's doing what he needs to do in order to get that team a win, and the defense has been all right. So, you know, are they there with Michigan and Michigan State? No, but you know what? This is the Big Ten, and it's a weaker Big Ten than we've seen in the past. They can pull some upsets, and it wouldn't be surprising if they're one of those teams that just kind of hangs around all year. You know, that seems to be how Northwestern's been every once in a while, and I wouldn't expect anything different this year.
Do you give Michigan or Michigan State, they both suffered non-conference losses. In those losses, did you see anything to make you doubt their ability to contend for a Big Ten title, or is it still the same team that you expected?
Michigan State probably is not as advanced on offense as I would have expected. You know, they got Le'Veon Bell, which is a fantastic running back, but the passing game is obviously a work in progress. The offensive line still not quite where I think the coaching staff wants it to be in terms of their blocking up front in both the run game and the pass game. You know, the defense is obviously great, and that's what's going to keep them in it throughout the year, and probably why they're still probably even the favorite to win the Big Ten title with Ohio State ineligible. Still got some tests coming up on the schedule. You know, I think I like what Michigan State overall, although they lost to Notre Dame and really got dominated in that game. You know, I still think they're the favorite to win the division and win the Big Ten. For Michigan, I think they're another team that, you know, you saw them, you had a bad taste in your mouth when you watched them against Alabama. But anytime you got Denard Robinson, a true X factor in any game, you know, that's huge. And that's why they're going to stay in a lot of games. I think the defense is slightly better than most people think. I think on watching them, they do all right. Still the defensive line a little bit of a work in progress, but it can certainly get after some people with the defensive ends that they have. And you know, I think Iowa was a mess. Minnesota's not ready for prime time, and they might be without Marquise Gray. You know, Nebraska still to be determined on how good they are. So I really think it is Michigan State right there, number one. Michigan right behind them, a very close number two. And then you can kind of pick and choose who you think is next. But I would certainly say, you know, Michigan State are still swimming, right, certainly for the title.
Okay, now moving on to the Big 12. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at the Big 12 contenders, and really from the beginning of the season, I don't see anything that's necessarily changed as far as number of contenders. If anything, maybe I had Texas treading at the beginning of the season. Now I've got them swimming. Maybe TCU I'm downgrading a little bit, but for the most part, I'm still looking at about, you know, half the conference almost that all, you know, is in a position where they could be contending depending on how conference play goes.
Yeah, and we'll know very early on. I think with the first couple of weeks, there's some good tests out there, and it is a wide open conference. I don't think anybody expects Texas Tech to be a fact factor in terms of the winning the conference. But as we saw last year, maybe they're a thorn in the side with a few squads. And the same could maybe be said of Iowa State, certainly with their penchant for upsets. I think Baylor, although they lose a step a little bit with no RG3, they're still, I think, can cause some issues with a lot of teams with their offense and the weapons that they have in offense, and a very good quarterback in his own right, Nick Florence. But, you know, you could run down the list, and there certainly are a ton of contenders. And we'll know, I think, starting next week with Kansas State and Oklahoma, that's the game that I'm going to top 15 teams. Very intriguing matchup. You know, you look at Colin Klein, he's a Heisman Trophy guy. I think early on in the season, coming out of what he did last year, you know, very solid defense. The running game is there. Going up against an Oklahoma squad, we really don't know about. There was that scare at the beginning of the year, but we really haven't seen this team tested by a very good team. And you wonder, with Landry Jones still struggling, he has not looked the same really since that Ryan Broyles injury, and has not transitioned into an even better quarterback this year. You know, you usually want a guy to take another step in his last year in the program, and he hasn't done that. And you know, I'm curious to see how he does this week. And you know, Oklahoma State, we still don't know about them. They obviously lost the game to Arizona, but I think they can be, you know, right there with kind of that second tier worth of teams. And you know, right now I think you got to look at the newcomers as well being a threat. You know, it really is a wide open league, and probably more so than any other conference in the country.
Yeah, I had Oklahoma State as treading, and I don't know if they can swim depending on how Wes Lunt's injury turns out. I will say one interesting stat I saw today was that Colin Klein has a higher passing completion percentage than Landry Jones. And if you had told me that at this point last season, that in a year Klein would be completing a higher percentage of his passes than Jones, I would have told you that you were freaking crazy. And so you're right. What Klein's been able to do is fantastic, which is why he's right there. He's still accounting for a lot of their offense, which is always frightening, you know, if you were to go out there and lose a player. What have you thought about Texas? Are you upgrading them? David Ash was the Davey O'Brien quarterback of the week. Does that say more about Texas, or is that just Ole Miss defense being Ole Miss?
Says a little bit about Ole Miss's defense being that bad, but certainly you got to like what you've seen out of him as a young quarterback, and the improvement that he has had is noticeable. There's no doubt about it. He hasn't thrown an interception yet. I think it's 7 touchdowns so far on the season. He's got a solid running game. You know, I think he hasn't been tested quite like a lot of people think. But then again, you know what? He's going up against that Texas defense every day in practice, and that's a pretty good Longhorns unit right there on the opposite side of the ball. That's what's going to keep them in a lot of games. I'm curious to see when they play Oklahoma State next week. Both teams have a bye, lots of time to prepare for that game. So I think that's going to be the first real test we see out of Texas, and we'll see if they're really legit or not going forward. But I think, you know, based out of what you've seen, you know, against a couple of easy wins, you know, I think that you could buy them, certainly, and that they're swimming probably even ahead of Oklahoma right now. And I think they're the next 2 weeks will go kind of a long ways in terms of the jockeying position there. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's really kind of Texas and West Virginia in a lot of people's minds leading the conference right now.
So no real teams that are sinking in the Big 12, but moving into a conference where I think I've got my fastest and heaviest sinker on the board, which is, of course, with Arkansas and the SEC, a team that we sort of had penciled in as, you know, if they're going to have a year, it's going to be this year. You know, I had them treading just because they were behind Alabama and LSU, but after everything we've seen, I think this program is sinking. I think they got no chance at an SEC title, and I'm not even positive they might beat Rutgers.
Oh yeah, no, I think that's an improved Rutgers team that even though that they had that sloppy showing on Thursday, I mean, they got extra time to prepare. Very interesting matchup, you know, with those big wide receivers. So I wouldn't put it past the Rutgers pulling that upset against Arkansas. And you know, as a conference as a whole, I think there are a couple sinkers. You know, you look at Vanderbilt. I don't think that's quite the squad that a lot of people expected them to be starting from that opener and when they look sloppy against South Carolina. But, you know, Tennessee's sinking right now. Derek Dooley still has not proven that he can beat a top 25 team. He's got a big offer on his record in that respect. And, you know, yeah, Alabama, LSU, no doubt about it, class of the country. They're swimming ahead of everybody, and they're probably a full lap ahead of everybody. But
yeah.
From the middle of the pack on, you know, the SEC, the depth there is not quite what I think we expected this year.
I think, and I'm almost if. I mean, if Connor Shaw can't get healthy, and this is, you know, that shoulder blade is something that nags throughout the season, you wonder exactly if the Gamecock ceiling is dropping a little bit. Florida is obviously getting better. Sure. Texas A&M's a little bit better. But as far as sinking or swimming for a conference title, I don't know if any of those teams, maybe Florida, you know, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, I don't really see anyone else out of those four playing in Georgia in December.
Well, you know, I think Georgia, with what they have on defense and what they've shown us on defense, Todd Grantham has a great, great unit. There's no doubt about that. He has a fantastic unit led by Jarvis Jones, the linebacker that a lot of people are talking about, possibly even being in the, you know, in Heisman contention. He's that good and was that good against Missouri. But for the most part, you know, I think Florida is getting better production out of their quarterback. They got a good defense. You know, they got a solid running game. You know what? Maybe they are making a run at the title this year. You know, they kind of got a little moxie in the second half from their quarterback and Jeff Driscoll. And I can't wait for the world's largest cocktail party between Florida and Georgia, because that's going to be a huge test for both teams in that East division. And I think because of that Shaw injury for South Carolina, that game might end up deciding the division. Can either team beat an Alabama or an LSU? I don't think they're quite there yet, but they might give them a run. You never know. Crazier things have happened down in Atlanta at the end of the year.
That is true. All right, let's move over to the ACC for sink, swim, or tread in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Virginia Tech suffering an unbelievably embarrassing loss to Pittsburgh. I mean, I think it said a lot about Pittsburgh. It seemed like they were running, you know, that Paul Christ pro-style offense. The Russell Shell and Ray Graham were great. But for all those things said, Virginia Tech was supposed to be the number 13 team in the country. Obviously, they slipped out of the top 25, but when it comes to competing for an SEC title, do you still have them swimming out in front, or are they treading or sinking? Where do you see them in the mix-up of just the conference?
Well, I think they're obviously still in that middle of the pack. We don't know quite about their running. You know, you look at Logan Thomas and what everybody expected him to take another step in his development, and so far we just haven't seen that. And that Pitt game was a perfect example. He's got great physical tools, but that team is how he carries them, and he didn't carry them very far at all against Pitt. You know, he was flustered and he was confused. The defense, I think, probably the most concerning thing, because that was always what Virginia Tech was relying on. You know, they talked about Beamer Ball and special teams, Bud Foster's unit, but so far the first couple games we just haven't seen the playmakers and the sound tendencies out of Virginia Tech that we're used to. That's a wide open division too. You know, you look at, you mentioned Georgia Tech. You know, I think Virginia, Miami, North Carolina, even Duke a little bit could be a little cause of some consternation among, you know, offensive and defensive coordinators with the way they play. But I would expect Virginia Tech to win that the coastal division, but are they anywhere close or anywhere near Florida State or Clemson? Absolutely not. You know, I think Florida State and Clemson have separated from the pack much the way in the SEC that Alabama and LSU have, even though I don't think Clemson or FSU are approaching them. But in terms of their relation with the rest of the conference, there's a huge separation between Clemson and Florida State, and I think Virginia Tech right now is certainly sinking after that loss to Pitt.
Before we move on to the Big East, do you have a game pick? Because I completely agree. It's Florida State, it's Clemson, and then it's the rest of the ACC. And the way they played, the way they performed, the talent on the field, it really seems as though both of those coaching staffs have the top-ranked classes from the last couple of years starting to play about to the level that you would expect of them, which has always been, you know, the classic you know, criticism of the ACC is that you've got all these top-ranked classes, then they don't perform, then they go become NFL draft picks, and that middle area is just a big question mark. All right, now the big game this weekend, Florida State at Clemson. It's the first top 10 meeting of ACC teams since 2007. Do you have a game pick real quick before we move on to the Big East?
Still not 100% behind the pick, but I'm going to go Florida State. I don't have an idea of how good that offensive line is yet. Yeah, it was great to see them dominate Wake Forest after the two patsies from the FCS, but that's still Wake Forest. That's not Clemson. And let's face it, that was a very impressive offensive attack, especially when you're talking about Andre Ellington against Auburn at the beginning of the year and him rushing for over 200 yards and then kind of going forward. How that team has looked as an offense. They got Sammy Watkins back against Furman last week, so that's a very challenging unit to guard against. Luckily Florida State has a good defense. I'm just you almost are scared to pick Florida State just because of the way they've let you down year after year after year. Maybe this is the year that they've turned the corner, and let's for Jimbo Fisher's sake, he probably hopes that, because if he loses this game, you're gonna start hearing the calls. He can't win the big game. And I think it's a huge game for the ACC, as you mentioned, in terms of the last time that they have this type of national focus on the ACC. But I'm gonna slightly lean Florida State for right now. But I'm still convinced that this is gonna be a close one, and Clemson can certainly win it. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah, that he doesn't have many chances to let people down again, because last year you come in, you're the preseason favorite. People are talking, hey, if you beat Oklahoma, then it'll be right on to the national championship. You lose to Oklahoma, you lose to Wake Forest, you lose to Clemson. E.J. Manuel gets hurt, season kind of falls apart. This year, now the expectations have even been raised. I mean, being number four right now, this is the first time Florida State has been number four in the country, or as high as number four in the country, since October of 2005. And that was the last ACC championship season too. So, I mean, anything less and Seminole fans are going to be disappointed. That is for sure. All right, moving on to the Big East. Tread, sink, or swim. Let's start with the Big East team that took an L in the conference opener and is now 0-9 on Thursday nights. South Florida seems to be everyone's dark horse pick every year coming in, but struggle in conference play. Are you already going to say they're sinking as far as chasing a Big East title?
Yeah, I think when you look at the Big East, it's kind of Louisville and everybody else. I think there are some surprises. As a conference as a whole, I think it's swimming. I think UConn, a little stronger than a lot of people think. I think you saw Pitt, even though they looked like the worst team in FBS for the first 2 weeks, they ended up surprising a number 13 ranked Virginia Tech. South Florida, Rutgers, all better than expected. Syracuse gave USC a little bit of run, even though they kind of gave back any goodwill that they had against Stony Brook last week. But I think Louisville is still way out in front of everybody else. There's not, there's almost a team gap into the next team. But we'll see as the Cardinals get on the road and what they can accomplish. And they got some big early tests coming up. But South Florida can certainly get right back in it. Rutgers still has a chance to win the league. You look around, it's just a very wide open, I think, after Louisville. And as we've seen in the past, because it's round robin, if a team can knock off Louisville or at least get that head-to-head win, it can go a long way in the conference race.
Yeah, now that's always the very tricky thing. And that's what elite have things, situations such as Louisville last year, which started the season started the season 2-4, then they come back, win 5 of their last 6 in the regular season, but because those last 6 games are mostly conference games, they're able to sneak in there with Cincinnati and get a piece of the Big East title, or at least a share. And remember, that conference still has an Orange Bowl bid at least for 2 more seasons. So there's still plenty to play for. All right, we're going to send you out of here on this one. Outside of the 6 major conferences, what team had, and let's say outside of Notre Dame, because I think Notre Dame, how about this? Counting Notre Dame, what team has surprised you the most and think and has the best chance to make a national impact outside of the Big Six?
Well, I would say Notre Dame. I think they're very surprising, and not only in terms of what they've accomplished last week against Michigan State, but that front 7 is very good. And Manti Te'o has been phenomenal. I think he's, with a big win this week, he could be a guy that maybe he's the defensive banner carrier for the Heisman. I mean, he's been phenomenal. He was against Michigan State. He has been the previous 2 weeks. I mean, you started off the season in Ireland with his first interception and first fumble recovery of his career. So very good squad on defense. Second secondary just is so concerning for me. And they already lose their safety to a knee injury again this week. So still a thin secondary that I think can get exploited by teams like Oklahoma, like USC, and some others down the road. But for right now, they're very impressive. That front seven does take some pressure off the secondary, so maybe they can overcome some of the deficiencies. Golson at quarterback, I think he can grow as a young guy. I mean, you got to keep in mind this is only going to be his, now fourth game, and he's still got to learn certain things and still has to get calm under center. But he is the kind of the perfect guy to kind of run that offense and gives them some flash and can make things happen. You got Sierra Wood back, and he was certainly a factor, I think, in that win over Michigan State. If he's not back there without that threat that he brings, I think the game's a lot closer. If not, they lose that. And so very important to see Notre Dame for what they are. I don't think they're a top 10 team yet, but they certainly are better than I think a lot of people expect. And I think that's the biggest surprise when you're talking outside the Big Five leagues. I mean, yeah, you could point to a Louisiana Monroe being a getting an SEC win against Kentucky, almost
Western
getting
Kentucky maybe
win against Arkansas and Auburn, but it's just very impressive, I think, what Notre Dame has done overall.
So you will be in Norman for Oklahoma and Kansas State this weekend?
Absolutely. That's where I'm going to be. Looking forward to hitting Oklahoma and making the drive up from Dallas, flying in there and seeing the folks real quick, and then heading on up to Norman. And should be a great game, great atmosphere, and going to be tough for Kansas State. I think overall Kansas State is a better team than Oklahoma at this point in the year. Still not convinced by the Sooners, but you know what? Oklahoma is 14-0 under Bob Stoops at home in the Big 12, and they're 78-3 overall in Norman, or 14-0 against ranked teams in Norman, and I think that's ultimately the difference. They got a good coaching staff. He knows Bill Snyder. He knows how to guard against Colin Klein. I think he'll be able to shut him down, and should be an interesting week, that's for sure.
He is Brian Fisher. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian D. Fisher. And this wraps up another Fish and Chips podcast. Be sure to check out all the podcasts on iTunes. You can get up there and subscribe for free. We'll deliver the next one as soon as it's done. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody.